Well, it's nice to see you all here this morning. And what I would like to share with you is a little bit about who we are. People today want to know, not necessarily us, but a lot of people want to know who they are. And, you know, there's a lot of people looking back into their genealogy to see where they come from, maybe just out of curiosity. But I think there's a little bit of trying to work out, who am I? And so, you know, they're trying to work out their family tree to see where they come from. And also, they might even get their DNA checked to see where their ancient history is, where they might come from, and something of trying to work out who they are and who they're part of, where they've come from. And my own children are a mix of myself and Viv, and so they'll get various physical and other traits from some from me and some from Viv. It's funny really, because I can see Elizabeth and some of the things she does, and for me I can see where it's coming from. And Viv looks at her and thinks, where do you get that from? But she knows, but she sort of has a job. But I know that I've passed that on to her, you know that. Well, I'm not going to tell you those things. I give you a clue, looking for the book earlier on. You know. That would be Elizabeth and that would be me. We're like each other. Viv doesn't understand that, but I understand. I can connect there because it's me, it's her. And we pass on, you know, various traits, don't we? But also, so that, you know, you get these genetic things that you pass on. And other things you pass on, they learn from you, don't they? They live with you, they learn from you. And as parents, we teach them certain values, and just they watch your behavior, you know, they see you, they copy you. So there's traits, but there's inbuilt traits, and there's things they learn. They learn from school, and they learn from TV. They learn from friends, and this makes the person who they are. So there's a sort of, you know, who you are, your physical makeup, your DNA, what's you've inherited, and then things that you learn. And that comes all together to make up a person, doesn't it? And we can resign ourselves to say, oh, I am who I am. And that's the way I am because of my genes. And sometimes when you look at genetics and some things they say on TV, you think it almost gives people an excuse to be who they are. And we can just sometimes resign ourselves and say, well, I can't help it. I am who I am. And to a degree, you are who you are, but not always. Some things you make a decision on. So if I said, or if we as a family said, we are going to sell up and we're going to Australia, that would be a big change, but that would be a decision that we'd make and we would implement. It's not just happens. And so that's a decision that would change our lives, would change our thinking, would change us if we did something like that. But if I had an accident, I was thinking this while I was out running some of this stuff, that would be a change that was forced upon me. If I had an accident and I couldn't use my legs anymore, I wouldn't be able to go out running, and that would be a change forced upon me. I wouldn't choose to do that, but that would cause change to me. So some things we can choose to change, and other things are forced upon us. And so we are who we are, but we can change who we are, and we can change this. Now, I'm saying all this to introduce a talk about who we are as a church here in Broadfield. So it's a kind of different kind of message, really. It's just going through why we are where we are. So let me be a bit sort of, I don't know, dry. Who and what is Broadfield Christian Fellowship? That's the name of this church. I'll just go a little bit through that. I was just thinking about this. I don't go into a lot of thought about this, but we are an evangelical charismatic church. Evangelical, what I mean by that is we believe that the Bible is our true and final authority. You know, the Bible is fundamental to what we believe. Evangelical, that's what we say. Because some people wouldn't put the Bible as their final authority, but we do. See, so that's... This might be some very basic stuff for us, some of you and a lot of you, but I just want to go through a lot of it. So the Bible is very fundamental to everything we do. You know, it is the foundation of the things that we do. Charismatic. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, in the outworking of the Holy Spirit. A little bit more on evangelical. So we believe in the authority of the Scriptures, the final, and that we want to proclaim this good news to those around us. Just jumped ahead of myself. But it's part of who we are. We believe in the Bible, but we want to also, not only do we believe it, we want to proclaim it. So that's part of it, evangelical. I don't want to go too deep into all this. So charismatic, open to the work of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And that's very much part of us. We must be open to God working through His Spirit through us. What do we mean by church or fellowship? Well, it's a group of people. This is going to be very simplistic because I want to cover a lot of ground, really, so I'm not going to go into detail on this. A group of people who meet together in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's us meeting together. Yeah. So that's in the title. It's just something that's in the title. And this is our sort of foundation or our DNA. So as a church, whatever may influence or try to influence must match up with these basic things that we, in our title, you know, of what we want. But in there is Broadfield as well. So we are here in Broadfield mainly involved in what we do is in Broadfield. But not all people live in Broadfield and not everything is done for Broadfield, but... Like we've just taken this, we're going to give that to across the seas. So not everything is just restricted to Broadfield, but most of what is done is for Broadfield. It's mostly Broadfield-centered. So moving on, a little history. Now, some of you will know more of this than I do. So I hope I don't get this my facts wrong, but it's only a very simplistic, brief history of this church. It was set up, I've put over 30 years ago. Yeah? Some of you would know better. Perhaps. Is it? Yeah? 33. 36. Yeah, I put down here, set up over 30 years ago, pushing 40. So that's what I was going to say. John Hall, the minister, I put him down, founding father. Who's actually coming soon, would have set up much of what this church is about. So he would have put together a lot of where it came from, if you see what I mean. And going back those 33 years, he put together what it stands for, most of the fundamental stuff. John and his leadership team would have put in place much of what Broadfield Christian Fellowship is, right back there. And jumping on, after John Hall, a lot of you won't know who John Hall is, and some of you will, but he is coming in a few weeks' time, but he would have been the one who sort of worked out what Broadfield Christian Fellowship, how it's going to be, if you see what I mean. After John Hall, there was some changes. And in 2000, there was something of a fresh start. Just rush through that. But there was a kind of fresh start in 2000. And most of the DNA, if I can say, came through. Yeah? But there was a kind of fresh start. And Broadfield Christian Fellowship carried on. And around 2000, we linked to Ichthys Christian Fellowship, which is a group of churches up in London, led by Roger Forster. And so we've connected up with Ichthys Christian Fellowship. And they have given us some input. For example, last weekend we were up, the leaders went to an Ichthys Leaders Conference up in Croydon, where, you know, we just get some teaching. We go there once a year. We go to the camp in Revive, those who want to, and get teaching and input. So there is input from Ichthys, these churches in London. And when we started meeting with them, some of them back then prayed for us as a leadership team. And when they prayed for us, they gave us a word for the church. And I can't quite remember exactly. It's something like, don't try to be church. Now, it wasn't they weren't saying stop. What they were saying is, and they explained it, don't put all your focus just on the Sunday morning, trying to get all the little ditties right. Be church in Broadfield. Have a bigger thinking of what church is. Be church in the community. And so don't put all your emphasis and all your thought on getting all the little, trying to do church. Yeah? So that was a word for us way back then. And that's quite important to us because we've tried to take that on to the point where, you know, we've tried to be flexible in the Sunday time. We have done church not as you know it, to just bring in some sort of different expression sometimes and to make it, feel a bit different. We went on a church weekend. We've got a church weekend coming up soon, haven't we, coming up in March. But we had a church weekend somewhere back in the past. I haven't got dates, and one of the speakers, he said, do good things, no strings attached. Which is quite hard because when you want to do good things from a Christian point of view, you often want to have strings attached. You want to do something, but let them know that you're the church doing it. Do something, but I give you a tract at the same time. It's quite hard to do something anonymously or just do good. But his word was to us, do good and no strings attached, which is quite, like I say, it's quite hard to get your head around. And we've done things we did things like litter picking and various other things in the community. Because that tied up with the first one, you know, be in the community, be involved in the community as a church. And so we've tried to do other things in the community. From that came the little project that I have been involved in for about 5 years, this football thing, which I could tear my hair out over sometimes. Believe me, it's... but anyway... it certainly built connections, but the funny thing with that, you could say no strings attached, but not necessarily through the football. But we've had a lot of those boys once came to church not because of anything we had done, but because Sue had a blessing for her children, and there were all these boys that I know from this football. And they were all in church, and of course, this place was full, wasn't it? And it was quite amazing for me because I saw all these sort of lads, and of course, I couldn't sing a word, and they were all there, didn't know anything. But so sometimes things that you don't understand connect, don't they? And when Stacy did it in the beginning, one of the lads involved there, he became a Christian through other connections. So doing things, no strings attached, is always quite hard because you feel all the time obliged to say something. But if, not that I'm not going to say anything, but if God offers opportunity, we do. Anyway, so that was another word to us. And then another time, that banner on the wall back there, do we know where that came from? It's right at the very back on that door there. Well, Sally Jeffrey. Look, God's blessing through us. She came here one Sunday and she said, I have a word, a vision for you. And I think it was basically those words. God has blessed you. You be a blessing to those around you. And that was another word to us. So these are things that have been inputted to us from various people to this fellowship. So Sally, you know, said, be a blessing to those around you because God has blessed you. So you see these, I mean, in a way, if we could say we know that that's what the church is about. But we, as a church and as individuals, should be a blessing anyway to those around us. If we look at the story of Joseph, who didn't have a Bible like we have, Joseph, and he got sold into slavery, and everywhere he went, however hard done by he was a blessing to those around him. He could have been the opposite if he wanted, but he was a blessing to his enemies, if you could put it that way. He just did what he did, and he did it diligently, and he blessed. God blessed those through him that he was with. Daniel, the same, exactly the same. He was a slave or captured, you know, royalty. And he was a blessing to the Babylonian and Persian Empire. And yet he was, they would be enemies. They had captured him, taken him in slavery, and he served them. He served them diligently and rose up. And they would have been blessed through him, even though he was a slave. And I just, then there's other ones like Ruth. Was better than seven sons. And even the story of the Ark of the Covenant. This was this box, a holy box. I shouldn't call it a box, really, should I? But it was a box. It was had special items in it that meant a lot to the Israelites. And one day, this box, the Philistines had sort of put it on a cart, which is not the way it was supposed to be moved. And it got moved, and you weren't allowed to touch this box. And this box went, the cart was going along up this track, and it hit a pothole, and the cart almost fell off, and one man put his hand to rescue it. This is a tough story. I do think it's a tough one, and the man died for touching it. But David was annoyed, and so they put this holy box, ark, and they gave it to this man to look after, and his house prospered because of God's presence. And he prospered, and in the end, David saw this prosperity, and he thought, hey, hang about, I want some of that. And but he did it properly this time. He didn't do it like the Philistines, stick it on a cart. He moved it, just going off the subject a bit, but this Obed-Edom was blessed because he had looked after something special of God. But God's presence just brought blessing. And we are God's presence in Broadfield. And just our presence brings blessing. If we could take that on board. You know, we should be a blessing to those around us. So, lots of words to this fellowship. That be involved in the community. Bless those around you. Do good, even if you haven't got the chance to preach at people. Just help people. It's no strings attached, we call that. Not that we don't, you know, we have run alphas, haven't we? We've run quite a lot, actually. At this time of all these words, and before these words, the coffee shop was already running, because we'd had these words in 2000, but the coffee shop started about 15 years ago, didn't it? And the coffee shop was running, but it was kind of a word of encouragement, because some might have thought, what's this coffee shop about? But all these words are there to encourage that this coffee shop is there, a little something in Broadfield, because we run a, for all of you that don't know, on a Wednesday morning in this room now, it started down the other end, but in this room now, on a Wednesday morning for a couple of hours, we run a little coffee shop. And just serving tea and coffee and cakes and beans. Beans on toast, yes. But we do, that's just something. And sometimes we felt like, but we should be preaching to people, you know. But we've actually discouraged going onto tables and sort of sitting there with your Bible and having a go at people, because it's not what we were. I don't think that was ever the calling for it. The calling was for it to be a blessing to those around. But saying that, even from the coffee shop, and this is how I see it, as a hub where we can invite people to something else, that they, the coffee shop is a kind of neutral ground, but what we can invite to them can be overtly Christian, so that the coffee shop can be, we do have the prayer box, and we will pray for people, and everyone knows it's church run, so it's neutral, but it's everyone knows it's the church, and we give clothes away. But from it, we have given out invites to come on an alpha course, and then they know what they come into. Then they know that this is overtly a Christian course that they're going to be looking at. And so we're not sort of hitting them over the head at the coffee shop, but they can get hit over the head on the alpha course. Well, they see that, so we don't need to tell them, because I think Jack will tell you. We don't need to tell them, because over the years people know that there is love in the coffee shop, and so we've seen people change just from coming along, just in their attitude, and we've got some sitting at the back there that come on alpha courses from the coffee shop. And we've run, and Carol. So from that, we'll invite people to things. We've also invited people to, like, bus trips to the seaside. And that's no strings attached. That's just come with us and have some fellowship together. So there's things we'll do that's just a blessing, that's no strings attached, you know, just helping. And there's other things that we'll do that overtly, you know, this is what we are, this is who we are, this is who Jesus is. And so sometimes we just bless, and other times we may run alpha courses or various other things. Jesus said to us, love your neighbours or love your enemies. And this is part of loving your neighbours, where we are just showing love to those around us. Another way of blessing that we have supported as a church for the community is things like Lighthouse Project. We haven't been involved in it, but we have supported it from the beginning, I think. We've kind of given in towards it. And we've had Dave Jordan, who runs it, around a few times. We haven't had him for a little while, but he hasn't been so well recently. But we've supported that, and that's a group that go into schools and do like Sunday schools or go to senior schools and just help with the youth group, and then do a little talk, a little gospel talk in the schools, both junior schools and senior schools. And just before Christmas, we were at the joint church meeting, and there was a little appeal put out to if people could come and help. And I was sitting there, and I thought, yeah, I think I could actually. But I didn't do anything at first. But I knew I should. But didn't respond straight away, meaning to, but didn't. You know how it is. And then an email came round and said, would any of the church leaders like to come along? And I said, yeah, okay. And so I went, and I've been involved since. And now Viv's off, she's doing it too. So we go into the schools, and it's not too bad. I mean, I only go in, my commitment is just a Monday for about an hour. And Viv's is a Wednesday for about an hour. And it's not bad, actually, because it's just a youth group. And being that I'm really young, but it's all right. It's a nice little easy way to just help in the schools. Also, street pastors. That's something that's new. That started up about a year ago, which I've talked about before, where we go out onto the streets at the moment on a Friday night mainly, and I go out. There's a few here. There's Caroline there that goes out, isn't it, Caroline? Out in the streets till unearthly hours. Going around just saying hello. Sometimes you think, is there any point to this? And other times you get into interesting conversations. But we have to just think this is the presence of God on the streets at whatever it is, you know, 11 o'clock at night when people are going in to pubs, out of pubs, or standing outside a nightclub smoking. You know, you get a chance to say hello, how's it going? Just have a little chat. And so that's another way of, we've supported this as a church with a few of us, because Caroline does it, Martin and Katie go out, I go out. Have I missed anyone? Lou goes out. Yeah, she's not at the moment, but she has done in the past. So there's a few of us from this church have go out on the streets to unearthly hours, just walking around with a coat on, with street pastors on the back, and walking around. And it's not as bad as it sounds, is it, Caroline? I mentioned the dreaded coat, haven't I? Yeah, something might happen about that coat. Get a smaller one. Caroline in a tent. No, but you could get some grief out there, but it's actually not too bad. Sometimes you think you like a bit more action, but it's in early stages. That's just been going for a year. But that's those two projects that I've mentioned: Lighthouse Project and Street Pastors. That's not just this church. That's churches from all over the town working together for the benefit of this town. And so, you know, when I go to Lighthouse, I'm alongside someone from Crawley Community Church and Three Bridges Free Church. So when I'm doing that, and when we go out on Street Pastors, we're alongside someone from Elim, New Life, Crawley Baptist, here. Do you see what I mean? So that's working alongside other people from around the town. And this fits in with our identity, I think, as a church as well. Our focus, obviously, has to be balanced, because a church can easily get involved in all the doing good works and then neglecting to worship God and follow our Lord Jesus. And so part of who we are is to meet up on a Sunday at 10:30. Well, that's when, well, I say 10:30, but actually we meet just before for tea and coffee. And tea and coffee is part of fellowship. So, because in the Bible, we're told, you know, it's part of the identity. Well, we call Broadfield Christian Fellowship, so hey, better have a bit of fellowship. But anyway, no, we have tea and coffee to start with, just before 10:30, so that we can just get to know each other, perhaps have a chat for all those that can, and just talk to each other. But remembering the word to us, don't try to be church. We sometimes try and bring in flexibility into our Sunday service, as it were, so that it isn't sort of all prescribed exactly. So we have done, like I said before, church not as you know it, where we put all the tables out and sat around as if it was coffee shop. And then we did our singing and talk and even had a little break for, we've done ice cream, I think. Different things in the middle. And so we've done that sometimes just to try and break up, because otherwise we can sort of sometimes get into a bit of a religiosity of what church should be. It should be, and all these prescribed things. So we want to have a flexible understanding of what church is. But we don't want to be flexible with the message of who Jesus is. That has to always stay. Jesus is who he is. We can be flexible with church, but we can't. The message stays fundamental. And in Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so these are things that we have to bring in to a Sunday. And all churches will look at that and say, this has to be part of who we are. And so, you know, this is fundamental to how a church operates. So you need teaching. You need, well, it says fellowship. So you come together, meet, fellowship, have a talk. Breaking of bread. And that's what we did last week. Now, just on that, some churches will break bread every Sunday. Other churches, like us, once a month. Some churches might even go once a year. We just inherited the once a month, and it's fine. No worries. That's who we are. And that's, it doesn't say, I know in one point it says they went from house to house breaking bread, and they often did it on a Sunday morning. But I think when you look where it came from a feast that was once a year. So, and I could see, well, why didn't the church do it once a year? You could, you know, there's flexibility there. But as long as we do remember we do it. And we pray. I'm just going to bring these things out because this is what we must do. In Hebrews it says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So this is what I've been talking about, doing good deeds, to loving one another. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's good to come together. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about doing something, and they said, well, you could do it on your own, but when you do like exercise, for any of you, some of you can go out and do it on your own, go for a run or something on your own. I can, it's fine, I enjoy it. But for some, it's easier to get into a group, an aerobics class, and encourage one another together, don't you? And sometimes, even in the coffee shop here, we have a bit of a laugh sometimes, but we have the weighing scales out, and we all weigh, you know, we have a weigh. And we weigh ourselves, don't we? And you've got to empty your pockets because you're light as anything. But, you know, when you do it, when you sort of come along together, you can sort of possibly encourage each other by looking, you know, by you just sort of come along together and you think, I'll see if I can just drop a couple of pounds by next week, you know, or something like that. And doing things together, you can help each other. It just depends how you work together. So it's important to meet together. And it says here, to encourage one another and to spur each other on. And so sometimes it's good You work together, you push each other on, and you help each other rather than doing something on your own. You know, when you're out on your own, you've got to be quite hard-headed or determined sometimes to keep going. What about in Colossians 3:16? Do you know, because when I was looking at this, all churches sing, don't they? We sing, well, most churches sing. And you think of, there's not a lot there about singing. Well, there is, but in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so here we are singing, and God loves it when we sing, and he's given us voices. It's something he's given us, and we can use our voices and put poetry to music. And we can enjoy it. And when I've just been doing a little, well, we just started in our little Monday group looking at some of the songwriters and some of the songs written. And, you know, some songs come out of good things, good experiences, and some songs are written out of a real hard experience, real tough time, but a beautiful song comes out of it. You know, some people will think, how is this? But I know that my God is my Savior. Do you know? And it's good for us to put spirit songs together to praise God. And it's all very much part of what we are, to sing words, to sing truths. As we sing truths, you can remember truths through song, can't we? So this is all. So with that, those three readings I've just done, here we have some verses from the Bible that can guide us. They regularly met together. They sang various songs of praise and God's truth. They read, well, I haven't read this one out, but in Timothy it said they read the scriptures. You know, to read the scriptures. I didn't look that one up. They had teaching. They broke bread. They shared wine. They prayed. They fellowship together. I'm not going to cover everything because I just wanted to do a little run through who we are. In 2 Corinthians, it says, 9, verse 6, 7. "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And we've given today, but normally, see, this box is how we give. In many churches might send a collection box around, mightn't they? But I think this is something that we inherit, goes back to years back. And it's quite biblical, really, because I think sometimes when a box comes under your nose, you feel obliged to give. But the idea is, it says here, determine in your heart what you're going to give and give. And the box is over there on the table, and that's how it works in this church. And you can give or you cannot give. But it does say there, you know, what if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's your decision. And I know in the Old Testament, it says they built a box and they put it by the entrance, and people just gave into the box as and how. And there wasn't any pressure put on people. They just did it. They knew what it was going for. So we have this box, and it's just over there. We don't pass. We've passed this other background because it's for a special occasion, this Haiti earthquake. But that's unusual for us. That'll happen just a few times a year, perhaps. But most of the time, there's just a box there. And just as a guide from the Bible, people will talk about giving a tenth. Because that's a principle from the Old Testament. And that means if you get given £100, you put in 10. Or £1,000, you put in 100. And so that's the principle. So when you receive money, that's what they did. They would give that into the thing. But it's your choice. And all the money is funny, right? I was out doing street pastors. And someone just started sort of onto me about the money and the fraud and all this sort of thing. And I said, well, no, our money in the church, it's all accounted for. You can check the accounts. It's all sort of look, and you can see where everything comes and goes. No, I don't believe it. And all the money, and he was like, you know, he was having a go at sort of thinking that all the money goes and the minister runs off with it and all this kind of thing. And I said, no, you have to actually account for it all. And it's all accounted for, and you know, you can see what the money is, comes in, how much comes in, and where it is all spent. So,
we don't have to worry too much if we have money to give, because we have attitude to give, we've got time. Mm. If we haven't got much money, that I haven't at the moment, I'm unemployed, we can give our time.
You can give. Oh, yeah, there's other things we can give. But that's just a principle of 10. That's just an Old Testament principle. Everything is God's anyway. But that was just, I'm just giving people a guide on that. Coming to an end. So just talking of us as a church. So those are some of the things we do. And talking of the words that have been given us, the trying to be flexible in the service. And in 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says this: to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. And so that should be our attitude. We're not talking about compromising the message, but we're talking about ourselves, that we are flexible in ourselves, that by all means we might save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel being the good news of Jesus, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. So I become all things to all men. I'm flexible so that I might win some. And that's what we're called to be. The church has to think and be flexible, both on Sunday and throughout the week, so that we may share the gospel with the whosoever. It's our call to be flexible, not to be thinking rigidly, but to be flexible. We've got to be weak to reach out to the weak, strong to reach out to the strong, but flexible. And, you know, we are. When I started thinking about this, I did think of putting up, but it might be an insulting now, Dad's Army tune. Because I've said this before, because there's something, we look at ourselves and we look and we think, but how can we affect those around us? Look at us. We're like ineffective. What skills have we got? But God looks at us He sees all the potential, and he sees all that we can give. And he doesn't see what we see. He sees the SAS. He doesn't see Dad's Army. We see Dad's Army, but he sees something completely different. And he sees the potential that we have for this community. And it's not us doing it. It's him doing it. We're just the hands that he works through. So when we look around and we think, I was talking to someone last week at this conference, and I was just talking about his music team, and he said, most of us in our music team are like, we're really gifted. We have a lot of professional musicians. And I thought, oh, okay. And we haven't. But that's who we are, see? But we can't let that pull us down. We are who we are, but Jesus works through us, and He can make us be very effective in Broadfield. And so, you know, if we're flexible to Him and open to what He will do through His Spirit, we can reach out to the lost around us. Thank you. Do you want to do that song or no? No, did Viv say anything about a song?
No, she
didn't. Okay, we won't do a song. I just close in prayer. Father, we thank You that even though we might look at ourselves and think, what can I do? What am I capable of? I'm no great talent. I can't do this, I can't do that. You can use us, Lord. We just thank You that from a place of humility, You can do much, Lord. And we just pray that You would work through this church, work through me, through this year, to reach out to Broadfield, Lord. We just pray that You would help us, and that You would help us to be strong in You, Lord, not in ourselves, as we operate in Broadfield, Lord. We just pray that You would watch over us now, Lord, as we go out different ways, that You would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.